Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Tassel, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road. I don't know if it'll include barbecue or not. We'll find out after Sunday afternoon's tussle. I'll have the Raven scratch-offs to give away once we get out to Costas and Timonium, as well as back down to Fadley's at Lexington Market, and that is coming soon, as is playoff baseball next week. All of that happening. Luke is in Owings Mills, getting ready for short week. The Nnamdi Matabike news is not great on this end, and certainly the competition is stiff. Someone's going to be 1-3 on Sunday night. I hope it's not you. Blair Kirkhoff covers all things Chiefs and a little bit of Royals and a little bit of Kansas City and all of that stuff at the Kansas City Star, and it gives me good barbecue recommendations when I come in from time to time. He's done this for a number of years. You've had only a couple of more weeks of work in January than we have here in recent years, but it certainly feels like a great divide from what the Chiefs have accomplished to what the Ravens are trying to accomplish, and both of these teams at 1-2. It's kind of startling right now, Blair.
It is, on the face of it, it is. You looked at the schedules before the season and thought, but at least from a Chiefs perspective, that it was possible to get out of the gates kind of slowly. I thought they would have, they were going to be challenged with the Eagles in week two. I thought they'd get by the Chargers in week one. So they're really just a game behind where I thought they'd be right now. And really, I mean, for the Ravens, nobody would have expected or nobody would be shocked by losing to Buffalo in week one. And it was last weekend or I guess the Monday night game, a little bit of an eye opener the way that one ended the fourth quarter. But yeah, listen, I think for teams that are two teams that are 1-2, the season isn't over for the loser of Sunday's game. I think I have enough faith in the pedigree of both of these franchises that they will find what it takes to rally from, from a loss on Sunday.
Well, I think part of it's the narrative of last year where the Chiefs were the best team, but still not perceived very good and perceived as flawed. And in the end, didn't get the ring, but came as close as you want to have an opportunity to get the ring. Where are they now? And where are they 2, 3, 4 years after what was perceived to be the best operation around there?
That's a good question. They aren't offensively, they aren't what they were in sort of the heyday, if you will, of the offense. Mahomes' second, third, fourth seasons as they were building toward their first Super Bowl, and then a year or two after that, they're not the same offensively. Their defense has been better. The Steve Spagnuolo-led defense has been as good these last couple of seasons as it's been in any stretch under Andy Reid. But things have changed offensively for the Chiefs. They're not dynamic. They've been more the last few years, they've been more of a ball control, milk the clock kind of team. They're not dynamic, and you're not gonna they just haven't been a downfield throwing team. They're trying to change that this year. The results are mixed so far. They're trying to change that. But this year in particular, injuries at wide receiver have played a role in their identity. The fact that Xavier Worthy, who as a rookie last year ended up being the team's best wide receiver, went out on the third play of the opening game when he collided with Travis Kelce, out with a shoulder injury. We do expect him back on Sunday for the Ravens. But he won't be 100%. And of course, their top wide receiver, Rashee Rice, sitting out the first six games of the season with a suspension for violating the NFL's conduct policy. So Chiefs have not been at full strength offensively. They weren't last year. They were down Rashee Rice for most of the season. So injuries have played a part. They're trying to regain their offensive identity, what they had 3, 4, 5 years ago. But results haven't been there as of yet.
Well, part of that's mismatches, right? They had Tyreek Hill, they had Kelce in his prime, different kind of running game than maybe they do with Pacheco at this point. But you say no identity at this point. Where's Kelce in all of this? Because He feels to be a guy that could still be unleashed or maybe over the hill, or I don't know how the Taylor Swift thing plays out in your community versus how it plays out everywhere else, but it does feel like this larger than life, fantasy Joe DiMaggio, Marilyn Monroe kind of thing, a storyline that's larger than football, but also comes down to 3 hours on Sunday to say, are you the player you once were?
I think just based on his age, he was not going to be the player he was. He's 35. He's not going to be the player he was at 27, 28. But he's only a couple years removed from being an all-pro, and he has flashed this year. He had a nice touchdown reception in the opening game. He was off to a really good start against the Eagles. That little dust up with Andy Reid on the sideline in the previous game, the game on Sunday night against the Giants. So it's funny, he's been like this throughout his career, but now when there are dust ups on the sideline or when he has a gaffe during the game, it's now there's a well, it's obviously he's got Taylor Swift, he's got a different life, he's just a different kind of player. He's really the same guy, and I think he's entirely capable of an 80 to 90 reception season. He's probably not a 1,000-yard guy. The offense doesn't allow that. One of the problems for Kelce, and as I mentioned earlier, the wide receivers have been sort of in a state of flux. That's affected him because now teams can focus on him in a way that they couldn't when you had Tyreek Hill or when you had Rashee Rice in his prime, when he was on the field. So listen, the Kelce thing and the Kelce Taylor Swift thing was a Kansas City was all in on it from the beginning, and now it's from a Kansas City perspective, I think it's just let those two alone. We're not going to bother them. Let Kelce be Kelce on the field, and let the rest of the world have the curiosity of America's power couple now.
It's also Patrick Mahomes in his prime right now, right? Like these should be the next 5 years should be every bit as great as the last 5 years. I don't know that we expected that out of Lamar because we were expecting the wheels to be part of his game, not necessarily the arm and just the fact that he's become a better passer, the fact that the numbers and the touchdowns represent all of that for Lamar. But with Patrick Mahomes with the pelts on the wall, it feels to me like he's at that point in his career where he's going to be judged more harshly based on what's around him, based on his cap number, based on diminishing assets like Travis Kelce, not to mention the offensive line, which it feels like anytime I've talked about the Chiefs in the last 3, 4 years, it's been about their offensive line and whether that's going to power them.
Yeah, look, Mahomes, his numbers are down than what they have been. He's at for three games this year. He's at, I don't know, 220 yards, 220 passing yards a game. He still owns the NFL record as at 200, I think 290 yards per game over his career. So he established the bar at the highest level. It's tough to live up to that, especially with wide receiver issues, Kelce aging a little bit. You mentioned the offensive line. Absolutely, that's a conversation point here, especially with what the Chiefs have invested in their offensive line. They have the game's highest paid center, highest paid right guard. They got a $20 million tackle. They have a first round draft pick at left tackle. So a second round pick at right guard. So they've invested heavily in the offensive line. The expectation is for this offensive line to be performing at a level higher than what it's performed this year. The Chiefs think it's going to come together, but it's coming together slowly for them. And fans, being fans, are asking when's it going to pay off? When is this large investment going to pay off for the Chiefs? They also went out, one of their biggest free agent signings in the offseason was a guy named Jalen Moore, who was a backup to Trent Williams with the 49ers. So they've got a swing tackle sitting on the bench that they can't wait to see plugged into right tackle here. Juwan Taylor leads the NFL in penalties. He's a source of frustration for Chiefs fans. So issues on the offensive line, However, they've done a pretty decent job of protecting Mahomes so far this year, and that's sort of job number one for this line.
Blair Kirkhoff has covered the Kansas City Chiefs for a long. How many years you've covered the Chiefs since they stunk? You covered them when Schottenheimer was there, right?
Well,
Maybe.
I've been in Kansas City for 38 years, and but full time on the Chiefs is since 2015. I can remember that first year I covered a game in Baltimore. That was a downtime for the Ravens, that sort of the post Super Bowl victory years for the Ravens, and I remember my first time in that stadium in Baltimore, and I was just overwhelmed. Just fantastic, one of my favorite stadiums in the NFL. Always love coming to Baltimore. Love talking to you, Nestor. It's always great catching up with you.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I like getting out there and eating your barbecue better than you like eating our crab cakes here. But we could swap them out. But I tell you what, when these teams get together, it feels like a little bit of Superman thing going on. That
Yeah.
Mahomes gets into the phone booth and makes the magic happen. And at some point, and Lamar's gotten the better of him once, right? But for the most part, this has been like Lamar's lesson from the beginning, from the first year where Mahomes is doing the Jedi passing and all that. And then Lamar's winning MVPs or getting cheated out of them while Mahomes is holding trophies or at least losing Super Bowl Sunday. It has been a different pathway for both of them. And I go back to Andy and John and their relationship, and certainly Harbaugh and Spagnuolo and their relationship, and what kind of players you bring into this. And I would have told you a month ago, Ravens are loaded. They got the best play, got all of this. Now, as I get up on the game, I see how they've looked without Ricard and how they've looked without Likely and where Andrews is and where this offensive line is for Lamar and Derrick Henry with the fumbles. And then defensively for the Ravens, I must say, 32nd defensively for the Ravens. This is my 27th year of owning the radio station. I've been doing this since the Ravens got here. I don't remember a week where we're talking about 32nd in defense. And worse than that, Nnamdi Madubuike with a neck issue that has people really concerned here about long-term situation, not just whether he's going to play this week or next week, what the mystery is around his neck injury. And he's so fundamental for this. And I think we saw it last week. Kyle Hamilton struggled, Roquan Smith struggled. They all struggled because the front seven for the Ravens right now decimated. They didn't even have a practice squad to put out on Wednesday. All of their starters couldn't get to practice 48 hours after the Monday night game. Very, very problematic against the Chiefs and going into Kansas City. And they were a 2.5 point favorite. We haven't figured that out, how the Ravens are a favorite out in Kansas City.
You know, that's a good point. I think I've got to double check this. I meant to look at this today. I think this will be the largest margin of a spread as an underdog that the Chiefs have been under Patrick Mahomes. They were not favored against the Eagles. They were 1 point dog against the Eagles in week two. And before then, it had been like at Buffalo last year, they were a 1 point underdog, 1.5. And then before that, they'd been favored every game for the previous 2 or 3 years. So to be a 2.5 point dog, that was the line before the Monday night game. I thought money would move after the Lions had won, but it hasn't. It stayed at 2.5. So I'm really curious about that and why it stayed. But that's interesting with what you say about the Ravens. Listen, I look at they played the Bills in Buffalo. The Lions are obviously a very talented team offensively. I was so impressed with what Detroit did with their two long drives, 90-yard plus drives on Monday night. I'm totally impressed with the Lions. But yeah, I wonder about that too. And Lamar going down seven times in that game. The Derrick Henry fumbles. That's an aberration. He will absolutely take care of that. He's such a pro. So I wouldn't. I know that's the type of thing that gets fans angry. But he, I don't expect any of that to happen in Kansas City. I think he'll have a big game. He always seems to come up big against the Chiefs, going back to his Titans years. So no, I think Baltimore should be favored in this game. Based on what we have seen through three games of both teams, the Chiefs have put together one good half in three games. And that was the second half on Sunday night against the Giants team that's probably going to finish last in the NFC East. So I'm not convinced about the Chiefs yet. They've got pieces, and when you have Mahomes, you always have faith. But this is a team that still needs some time to get its act together. Having said that, in 2021 they started 1-2, and then 3-4, ended up 12-5. 2015, the first year I covered them full time, they started 1-4, finished 11-5, and went to the playoffs. Andy Reid is a hell of a coach, and I think that he will find a way to get this thing on the right track. I'm not sure it starts Sunday with the Ravens, but I do think that eventually the Chiefs will get there. This will be a playoff team. I think both of these teams will end up in the playoffs.
Here's Blair Kirkhoff. He covers all things for the Kansas City Star and all things Kansas City Chiefs. And we're getting ready for a huge football game. Defensively, Spagnuolo preparing for Lamar Jackson for this offense, as you pointed out, preparing for Derrick Henry, tackling all of that. Where is the Chiefs' defense in all of this? Because so much focus on Mahomes, so much focus on that side, and obviously Travis Kelce and all of that. But defensively, that's where Lamar gets his kryptonite. That's, at the end of the day, the Chiefs have matched up defensively much better against this offense than almost anybody else over the last 7, 8 years.
Yeah, I think Spagnuolo is a wizard, and will game plan. Look, last week against the Giants, here's Russell Wilson who throws for 450 yards against the Cowboys in week two, and against the Chiefs, he is so bad. He's at 160 yards. He was so bad that they're going to bench him this week. He's Jackson Dart's going to be the Giants quarterback. So Spags just took him out of the game, and that's what he can do. Now, listen, Lamar, we're going to talk to Spags about this today, and Spags will have, the nicest things in the world to say about Lamar Jackson, and he'll be right. I mean, he is an unbelievable talent and is deserving of his MVPs. He is he's had moments against the Chiefs that I can still remember. Like, how did this guy do it? The Chiefs, like most teams, will have a spy on them. I think it'll be linebacker Leo Chenal. He's done it before, but I've also seen Lamar Jackson juke Leo Chenal out of his jock strap a couple of times.
Well, the
So
problem is you could stop him 48 out of 51 plays. It's the three
that's
that
right.
break you. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And yet Spags has had his moments against the Ravens. He's done a pretty, done a, what was the AFC title game a couple of years ago? That was a kind of a master class in defense. So, yeah, that's where the Chiefs kind of quietly, the Chiefs' national identity is about Patrick Mahomes, it's Travis Kelce. It's, people think about, remember the Tyreek Hill years. But the real identity of this team the last few years has been defense, and Chris Jones, Trent McDuffie in the backfield, Nick Bolton, the linebacker. That's where they have won games. And you mentioned last year, this was not a great Chiefs team. Ended up with a great record. They were 15-2 in the regular season. They won an NFL record number of one score games, but they were able to stay in all these games because of their defense. And I expect as they begin to figure things out in the passing game, and get their wide receiver straightened out, it's going to continue to have to be the defense leading this team over the next few weeks.
Blair Kirkhoff is here from Kansas City. He has good barbecue. We have good crab cakes. We're certainly going to have good football in the late window on Sunday afternoon. Luke will have full coverage. Any breaking news happens first on the WNST Tech Service. That is all brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Hey, man, I guess we'll probably get together in January. The one thing that I said to Luke earlier this week was the strangest thing for where the Chiefs sit and where the Chargers are in the division and where the Bengals have evaporated in our division. And the Browns can't, and the Steelers probably won't, is that it feels like no matter the outcome, the Ravens probably are going to be a division winner on this side. And if the Ravens can bury the Chiefs at 1-3, it really means the Chiefs probably were going to have a hard time winning the division. And that way, this thing wouldn't have to go to Kansas City again. And I think in Baltimore, we have this weird thing of how do we eliminate going to Buffalo? Well, you beat them week one and you hold a three touchdown lead instead of pissing it away. And how do you avoid Kansas City? Well, beat him or get somebody else to beat him or get him out of the way. But this really, from the Baltimore perspective, year after year, is how do you find a pathway in January to not have to go into Kansas City and see Mahomes, not have to go into Buffalo and see Josh Allen? And early on, being 1-3 on Monday morning for the Ravens would be devastating in that way.
Yeah, you're right. And I like your breakdown of the North too. I agree with you that it's just, we were talking about Russell Wilson a little while ago. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up in Cincinnati the way it's going there. Cleveland can't get out of its way with that group, still with a great defense. And the Steelers just, pencil them in for 9-8, 10-7. And, I know they play the Ravens tough always, but I think they're limited as well. Though Aaron Rodgers is different, a different component to the Steelers this year. We'll see what happens there. The Chiefs in the West have dominated this division. They've won nine straight, or is it nine or 10? It's nine straight division titles. And one of the reasons is because they have always had the advantage at coach and quarterback over all the other teams in the AFC West. I don't think they have, if they have that advantage now, it's not as big as it used to be with Harbaugh and Justin Herbert in LA, and then with Sean Payton and Bo Nix in Denver, and even Pete Carroll with the Raiders. The coaching in this division has gotten so good, the quarterback play has improved so much that the Chiefs can't count on going 6-0, 5-1 in the division every year, which has always been their big advantage when it comes to building the record you need to play home games in the playoffs. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised now to see the Chargers go ahead and win the West, keep that advantage over the Chiefs, and have the Chiefs, if they make the playoffs, have to start and stay on the road. Of course, a couple of years ago, that didn't. They went to Buffalo and to Baltimore and won the only two road games, playoff games in Mahomes' career, where those wins that year. So they've done it before, but yeah, it just looks like, especially if the Chiefs lose on Sunday, path becomes that much more difficult. Schedule eases up for them in the second half of the season. They get to play the Chargers in Arrowhead. But yeah, it's a different narrative in the division this year for the Chiefs with the coach and quarterback situation.
The Chargers remain to be seen. You know what I mean? They haven't proven anything, right? And we thought the left tackle was going to put them down and out in the beginning of the year. But Blair Karkoff's here in Kansas City. One of my favorite trips ever is to come to Kansas City. I've been all over the country for all of these things for all of these years. Any trip to Kansas City, whether it's baseball or football, I've enjoyed. And I had Jeff Montgomery on this week, and I brought him on to just talk about HB and our old friendship from 30 years ago. We went and talked about Geddy Lee and singing the national anthem at the All-Star game here in 1993. But in your town, there's been quite a blessing over the last 15 years that the Royals had their minute, and then the Mahomes thing and the Kelce and even the Taylor Swift thing. I don't want to say it's put Kansas City on the map or on the sports map. It was always something with George Brett back in the day and even Joe Montana and all of that that went on. But this has been a nice 10, 15-year run for your burg in a sports capacity, right?
I'm glad you recognize that. I was telling this to some. I went spoke to a group recently, and I said something very similar, that this last 10 to 15 years in Kansas City is the golden era for pro sports here. Since the Royals won the championship in 15, the World Series, that was the first of four parades in Kansas City, and only Boston has had more parades in that time. And Boston has four pro sports teams. Kansas City just has the two, if you not including Major League Soccer. So I think that's, yeah, there have been some down years for the Royals in between the World Series team of 15 and the playoff team of last year. But the Chiefs have filled in nicely, and compared to previous eras in Kansas City sports history, last 10 to 15 have just been remarkable. And what a great time to be a sports fan in this area, this community. And reminds me a little bit. Listen, I grew up in the East. I remember being a fan of Baltimore teams in the late 60s into the 70s, Colts and Orioles. So yeah, I this what's happening in Kansas City is, I have to remind people, find a way to appreciate it, because this doesn't always happen.
Well, we had the Baltimore Colts 50th reunion of the 75 team with Burt Jones and Lydell here
Oh,
2 weeks
yeah.
ago. The Ravens have celebrated their 30 years 2 weeks ago with John Ogden and Ray coming out with our trophies and all that. And I think of Kansas City, but you give me that two sport thing, I had to run to my wall because I'm a collector of belt buckles. Started with all my rock and roll belt buckles back in the 70s. But I found this gem, and when I found it, I just had to buy it. It's a Kansas City Omaha Kings belt buckle from 1969. It's in mint
Sweet.
condition. It's beautiful. And I had completely forgotten. And by the way, you guys almost stole the Penguins at one point, right? In the NHL, right? Like, so Kansas City's had its dalliances, much like, we had the Baltimore Bullets, don't tell anybody. We had the Clippers, and we thought that that was going to become the Philadelphia Flyers, but it never was. We never got to three or four. We subtracted here and never added. And Kansas City's one of those strange places that I never think of you for NBA or NHL. And when I come out there and I see that beautiful Sprint Center, I used to come out to Kemper Arena all the time. It just never happened for Kansas City that way, right?
Yeah, it's funny. That's Pittsburgh actually used Kansas City dalliance with Kansas City to get their new arena built, and so hey, that's what happens in the pro sports
Some people
world.
in Cleveland call us the Browns, right? I mean, some people, right?
Right. Hey, for 2 years, Kansas City had a team in all four pro sports. They had the Kansas City Scouts of the NHL and the Kings, along with the Royals and the Chiefs. So, Kemper Arena was built to attract an NHL team, and it got one that is now the team. The New Jersey Devils are the original Kansas City Scouts. I don't think NHL is coming back here anytime soon. The big thing Kansas City wants now is WNBA. They're hot for Mahomes wants to lead a leadership group to purchase a WNBA team or get an expansion team. We'll see if that happens.
Mahomes and Taylor Swift. There you go. You got an NBA. Oh my God, that would pack them in there. Blair Kirchhoff hopes for another beat to come along, just as good as this beat has been over the last 10 years of winning championships with the Chiefs. The Royals have been pretty good too. And I had Jeff Montgomery on this week talking about arms and pitching and wearing Kiss makeup back in the days of Mark Gubiza and Camden Yards, back before they moved the wall in and out and in and out and all that stuff. Enjoy the football this week, Blair. I always love our chats. Barbecue on me, crab cakes on you at some point. And if we do this thing right, we'll see you guys again in January, I guess, on both sides, right?
Love to see you guys in January. That'd be a lot of fun.
Well, I
Thanks,
love your
Nestor.
little airport out there on the Missouri side. And I know the difference of the Missouri and the Kansas City side. And I've even had the fried chicken and the pork chops at Stroud, so I know what's up. Blair Kirchhoff joins us from Kansas City Star out in Kansas City, Missouri. We need more games against the Chiefs around here. We got plenty of excitement on Sunday. Getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery out on the road next week. We got you covered. I'm Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.